Well, good evening, everyone. Let me thank you for your warm words of welcome from your pastor on behalf of the whole church here in Kilkeel. It's a great privilege to be here with you this evening and to be labouring with you in this mission in the gospel. And we trust and hope as we go night by night preaching the word of God that the Lord will be pleased to save people by the grace of God. I want you to turn with me to a very well-known passage of Scripture. It's a passage that I've preached on many times, and I haven't preached that many times, really. But John chapter 3 is probably known to most of you in this gathering this evening. And it is the story of another individual who the boys were singing about, and the girl, who the Lord met. And it's a great thing to meet the Lord. I wonder if you ever met the Lord. This man met the Lord. And I believe that the Lord is going to meet with someone this evening. Now it's up to you what you're going to do with the Lord. Whether you're going to trust him. Whether you're going to accept him. Or reject him. This man accepted the Lord. And in verse 1 we read this. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind blows where it wants, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's take a moment of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come to thee in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we need thee. No one else will do. David Legg means nothing. Kilkeel Baptist means nothing. We need God. And we need God the Holy Spirit. I need him to fill me. And the sinner in the pew here this evening needs him to save them. So God, we pray that thou wilt come and do a work of salvation in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 3. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks to this man named Nicodemus. Now I want you to notice this. that three times the Lord Jesus Christ says something to this man. Now you might say that if the Lord Jesus Christ came to you one evening in the middle of the night, and you were awakened out of your sleep all of a sudden, and at the bottom of the bed there stood Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and he said something to you once, I think you would be sure to listen to him, wouldn't you? But Jesus Christ came to Nicodemus, and in his middle of the night, he said something to him three times. Now, if Jesus says something to you once, my friend, listen. If Jesus says something to you twice, you'd better listen. And if he says three times, and he's going to say it to you this evening, you've got to listen to what he's saying. And here's what he says. Listen. Truly, truly, I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Have you ever heard those words? I remember the last time I preached in these words, there was a man waiting at the door for me, and he shook hands with me, and he pulled me over to him, and I knew he was going to say something that I wasn't going to like. And he says to me, do you think you used your time well there this evening? I said, what do you mean? He says, well, you repeat it over and over and over again, you must be born again, you must be born again. He said, there's a whole lot of other things that you could have said in that half an hour. And it was a wee bit over half an hour. But in that time that you spoke, and I said to that man, and I say to you, do you know why I did that? Because ye must be born again. Do you know that? That's the essence of the gospel. I'm not asking you, do you understand what it means? I'm asking you, have you ever heard it? And have you ever shut your ears and your eyes and your heart to this fact? That Jesus Christ, the Son of God, over and over again and again, said to this man, listen, listen to me in whatever I say. He must be born again. Well, are you? Are you? You say, well, I don't understand what it means to be born again. Well, I'm going to explain to you with the help of God what it means. In the beginning, we read this, that the Word of God says, God created the heavens and the earth. I know half the world doesn't believe that anymore, and they'll tell you that you can go and shake hands with your grandfather or your great-grandfather or your ancestor way down the line, some chimpanzee or some wee sail in the middle of this pool of mud, and they tell us that we come from the monkeys and we come from all sorts of things, but we definitely don't come from God. My friend, the Word of God says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. So what is man? If God created us, what is he? The Bible says that man is created in the image and the likeness of his creator God. And that simply means this, that the first man could know God, could know the things of God. He had a will that delighted to do the things that God wanted him to do. He had a heart that loved the things that God loved. But we read in Genesis chapter 3 that the devil came in. Has that ever happened to you? The devil's come in, hasn't he? And he came in here in the garden, and God told him, of all the trees of the garden, thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat of that one, for in the day that ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. What did Satan say? Go on, you'll not die at all. And they took, and they ate, and they disobeyed God. And it says that from that moment, that sin meant the death came upon all of creation. And from that moment on, men were no longer in the exact image of their creator God. But the Word of God says, and Adam begot a son in his own image. That's what big theologians call the fall. Where men and women have fallen from the glory where God had created them. He had created them to be like Him, to walk like Him and talk like Him and do all things like their Creator God. But they fell and were marred, and God's beautiful design and picture was defaced. And that's what the Bible means. Have you ever heard these words? That we are born in sin and shaped in iniquity. That's what the Bible means when Paul says there is no difference, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's what the Bible means when Isaiah, seeing himself and the children of God in Israel, said that from the tip of the head to the tip of the toe, they were covered in putrefying, oozing sores of sin. I wonder, do you see yourself that way? You know what the gospel of Jesus Christ is? It's how the image, that stamp of God upon His creature, can be restored. And the Bible teaches that the only way that can happen is that the Holy Spirit of God comes back into man and back into woman and restores the life of God into those that are spiritually dead. The Bible calls it the new birth. New life. To be regenerated. To have the life revived within your soul. To have the Spirit of God come into your heart and breathe new life into everything that is dead. And the Lord Jesus Christ says to you, my friend, as He said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, if I was to ask you all to put your hand up, whoever wants to see the kingdom of God, I'm sure that everybody's hand would be up with them. Who wants to go to heaven? Everybody puts their hand up, don't they? Oh, they all argue about the way to get there, of course. I'm not talking about that. But there is a desire within their soul, within their heart, that when they die, that they'll go to be with God, whoever their God may be. Jesus Christ, do you think He's a liar, do you? Stand up if you think He's a liar. You think He was a lunatic? Well, be a man about it or a woman about it and stand up and say to everybody here that He was mad, He was off His head. Well, if He was neither, He says to you, if you're to see heaven one day, my friend, if you're to get to glory, and if you're to get with all the loved ones that have gone before you that were saved, ye must be born again. What is it to be born again? Well, you'll know better than I do, coming from the city, that every creature that's born into this world has a nature after its own kind. In other words, you can't train a bird to crawl. And for the same reason, you can't train a snake to fly, because they're true to their nature. A caterpillar crawls and the birds fly. But one day when we watch, perhaps for weeks and months, a caterpillar crawling along the ground, and we look at that caterpillar and suddenly one day it sprouts wings and it flies, what do we say? You say, boy, that's a clever caterpillar. Look what that caterpillar has accomplished. Well, that caterpillar must have read a book on flying. Look what's happened. You don't say that. Why? Because it's its new nature that caterpillars change from caterpillars to butterfly. You could say it's been born again. Couldn't you? It's been born again. It's a new life. And let me say this. See, if you're a sinner, and you're all sinners, the Bible says, but if you're not born again, if you're not saved, you might as well try and breathe life into an old dead mummy in a tomb or a pyramid in Egypt. You might as well try and talk with your foot and hear with your nose as try and be born again of yourself. Have you got that? It's impossible. Water never rises above its own level. Sure it doesn't. And Jesus says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And there are hundreds of people across our land, and they think because they were born a Protestant or because they were born a Roman Catholic, people all over the world who believe because they were born Muslim or whatever, that that is their ticket to heaven. Listen to Jesus. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. No good. You need to be born of the Spirit. You can cultivate it. You can look after it. You can dress it up. You can refine yourself, your soul, whatever it may be. You can send it to church. You can make it religious. But the Word of God says that you can never breathe life into your soul. You might as well try and lift yourself up with your shoelaces to generate new life, to bring salvation into your soul, and to one day go and be in the kingdom of God. You can't do it. I know there's people rushing around everywhere, and people will do anything and give anything just to try something, to become spiritual, to become accepted for God. I know people in the south of Ireland, and they cut themselves, and they walk up rocks and bare knees, bleeding. And they pray, and they fast, and they do all sorts of things to enter the kingdom of God. But Jesus said, Oh, that men and women here would listen to Jesus. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You know what you need? You need to be born again. Some of you farmers will know what a pig is. And that's just about as far as it goes for me. I could tell you one, whether it's on the plate or on the farm, but I know a pig. You can take a pig, can't you? And you can put it in the bath and give it a good scrub. And you can take it and you can put deodorant on it and perfume and talcum powder. And you can give it a lovely name. And you can perfume it and then dress it up in a beautiful tuxedo and fancy bow tie. And you can bring it to the dinner table and set it down. And you can talk to it and say all manner of things about it. But when it starts to eat, what is it? It's a pig. That's the nature of the thing. No matter what you do to it, it doesn't make any difference. It's still a pig. And my friend, maybe you go to church. Maybe you say your prayers. Maybe you read the Bible. Maybe you're faithful and give to the poor. Maybe you're good to your neighbor and you do all manner of things. And you're hoping that one day when you get to glory, when God will be there, or Peter at the pearly gates, and he weighs up your good and your bad, that you'll just slip in. Not a bit of it. For except a man be born again, you'll never be in the kingdom of God. Peter says that we must be partakers of the divine nature. You understand that? You know what that means? You need to be born of God. God needs, in a meeting like this, or at home, when you open the Word of God, and when you look to God and pray to God, and when you seek God, God has to come and breathe new life into your soul. God needs to come. And God needs to save your soul. God needs to change you to be a new person. Because you know as well as I do, and your wife and your husband knows, that no matter how much you try, you can never change yourself. Have you ever seen an apple tree that yields two types of fruit? Have you? One side's apples and the other side's pears. You can get them. And what it simply is a branch has been cut off the apple tree and a few shoots has been cut off a pear tree. And what the gardener does is he cuts a slit
in the little stump of where the branch and the apple tree was cut off, and he shoves those little pear shoots down that stump, and he puts beeswax on it and a bit of cloth, and in a year or two's time, one half of the tree is covered in apples and the other half is covered in pears. You know what he's done? He's put in a new nature. My friend, you need Jesus Christ. Do you hear me? You don't need a church. You don't need a preacher. You don't need any denomination. You need Jesus Christ. You need him to come to you. You need him to save you. Because Jesus Christ was the one who was born into this world so that you might be born again. You know that? You know the nativity story in Christmas, how he was born into that manger. And you sing about it and you read about it. But do you realize why he was born there? He was born that you might be born again. He was born so that he might grow, so that he might mature, and one day so that he might be taken by wicked and cruel hands of his own creatures and stripped naked. And they spat upon him. And they mocked him. And they bruised him. And they pulled the hairs from his beard. And they whipped his back, the word of God says, until it was like a ploughed field. And they beat his face so that he was marred more than the face of any man. He was almost irrecognizable as a human being. And why did God do that? Why did God send the wee baby into the manger for something like that to happen? Did he make a mistake? Did he turn away his eyes for a couple of moments and then man and the devil came in and did something that he didn't know behind his back? Not a bit of it. Oh yes, man tried all that he could to kill the Lord Jesus. And the devil did all that he could to throw at him there on the cross to make sure that this Messiah, the Son of God, would die and never live again or to trouble the devil. But my friend, listen to what the prophet Isaiah says. Listen now. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. For he hath put him to scorn. He hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Did you hear that? All our sins were laid on him. Your sin, my friend. Your drunken nights. Your abuse to the wife. Your running around. Your fiddling the books. All those things that God calls sin and that God one day will condemn in hell. All of that was taken off you and put on Christ there at the cross. And he suffered my hell. He suffered my punishment. He stood in my place. He took the wrath for me. He became my substitute. And the amazing thing is this. He did it for you. Did you know that? Has anybody ever told you that? You see, Jesus said to the same man that he said, you must be born again. He said, Moses, the same way as he lifted an old serpent up in the wilderness. And everybody looked. And what happened there was the story that a plague had gone through the whole nation of Israel. And they were bitten all over. And they were dying. And they were wriggling around in the dust with the poison going through their bloodstream. And they didn't know where to look or who to help them. They were dying. And Moses was told by God to go and get this brazen serpent, stick it on a pole, stick it in the middle of the desert. And he said, look, if you look to that pole, you'll live. Now there's people here, and I know it. And they're squirming around in their sin in the dust and the dirt. And oh, they love their sin, but it's a love-hate relationship. They wish they could get rid of it, but they can't live with it and they can't live without it. And they're lying there squirming in agony. And Jesus Christ this evening is on the cross and he's crying out to them, look and live, look and live. And there with his puffed, bleeding eyes that men had beaten, he looks down upon you this evening. And all that he is looking for is that you, as you squirm there in your own sin and degradation, in your own dead nature, is that you turn your head where you are and look at him. Look at him dying for you. Look at him in love shedding his blood for you, taking God's wrath and then exhausting it for you. And he wants you to turn. And turn from your sin, my friend. And he wants you to come by faith. And look and live. Oh, you can't do it any other way. If I was to go home this evening and walk through the back door and there's the kitchen clock and it's stopped, and I used to take it and say to my wife, Barbara, well, you think if I put it in the living room that it'll start? And I go and put it above the mantelpiece. It's still not working. And you take it down and then you go into the hall and try it there and you swap it all around the place. And that's what people are doing with their souls. They take it to this church, the other church. They take it to this belief or the other thing. And they don't realize that it doesn't make a rap of difference, for we must be born again. My friend tonight, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to trust him? I believe this message is for someone. Are you going to say, yes, Lord Jesus, I realize that I need to be born again of the Spirit of God. I can't change myself. I can't take myself on some kind of supernatural ladder to heaven through doing good works. Lord Jesus, you're going to have to make me born again. You're going to have to save me. Do you realize that? Have you realized that you need to look to Calvary, where Jesus died for you because he loved you? If you've realized it, you know what you need to do? You need to turn away from your sin. You need to repent. That means turn away and turn to God and be done with your sin. You need to come by faith and say, Lord, I'm trusting in the cross alone and what you did at the cross alone. Nothing to do with me. I'm going to trust the blood that saves me. You need to ask him to take your life and make it his own. Let's bow our heads. And God has been speaking, because his word never returns unto him void. And there are those that are not saved, and maybe it's dawning on them that they've no hope of heaven. And my friend, let me tell you this solemnly, that if you have no hope of heaven, the only place is hell. What are you going to do? Are you going to walk out of this place again, like you've done in a gospel meeting before, and said, "Ach, lot of nonsense"? Or you know at the depth of your soul that there's a bit of truth in it, but you love your sin too much, you love the booze too much? What are you going to do? My friend, if you want to have peace, if you want to have rest, you need to have the forgiveness of your sins. You need to get right with God. And all you need to do is look to him now in faith and ask him and say, Lord, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I turn from my sin. Lord, will you save me? Why not pray it now? I'll be shaking hands at the door on the way out.
If you want to speak to me about your soul, I know God's speaking to you. So speak to me. If you want to sit where you are, you don't want to draw attention to yourself, sit here while and let everybody go out, and I'll come in and I'll have a word with you. But no matter how young you are, how old you are, who you're here with, listen. Don't leave this building tonight without being born again. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank thee for the gospel that is so simple. From the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, three times he said, you must be born again. For except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Lord, there are people dead in their sin and they know it. And Lord, they need to be born not of the flesh. They've been born of the flesh and it's done them no good. But they need to be born of the Spirit. And Lord, only thou canst do that this evening. And we pray that thou wilt come. Dear God, the Holy Spirit, and save men and women in this place this evening. And so we ask thy blessing now as we go our separate ways. And pray that none will leave this building without knowing Christ as their Savior. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.